Our theme this year at St. John's Cathedral is about telling our stories. And in telling them, we're hoping not only to get to know one another better, but to realize how our story is part of the story of God. So I want to tell you a story of one of our parishioners today. He doesn't know I'm about to tell the story, but he preached it before on Good Friday, so I know it's okay. It's about David Slate. Many of you know David. He's sitting right over there. David is a retired Lutheran pastor. David, would you raise your hand so they can see you? There he is. David's story is remarkable in many ways because he, as a single father, raised 7 at-risk boys, adopted them, and raised them all. But the story that he told me and that I made him preach on Good Friday happened one evening when he was working at a soup kitchen at a homeless shelter. He was on duty with 2 other staff members, but they were women, and he was the only man on staff that night. And the cops brought in a man that evening who had severe mental retardation, disabilities. And this man had been found on a bus, and he was very, very dirty. Not only with dirt, but he had defecated all over himself and was lost and confused. They brought him in, and the 2 women looked at David and said, "Oh, you're the only guy. You get to clean him up." I imagine David felt sorry for himself, as we all do when these kind of things happen. But he took the man and brought him into the showers. And he peeled off his horribly soiled clothing, piece by piece, and ran him under the shower to get all of the dirt and soil off of him. He brought him out, toweled him off, sat him down. And he was putting on his socks when David looked up at the man's face. And he said at that moment, he saw the face of Jesus. It was right there, so beautiful. He would never forget it. There are so many stories in this congregation. So many of you who do these incredibly beautiful things, but no one knows. Like Tommy Thomas. Maybe some of you know Tommy. He tends to come to the 9 o'clock service. He stands about this tall. Tommy has had cancer all during my tenure here as dean, so for 8 years. And what does he do in his spare time? He visits the sick. Even though he has cancer all over his body, he goes and visits the sick and he brings them communion. This past year, he had to let me know that he could no longer carry the communion kit, which is pretty small, but he has such terrible vertigo and pain that he can't carry the kit. But he wanted to make sure I knew that he wanted to still continue to visit people and he could pray with them. Today is the final Sunday of the Christian year. It is called Christ the King, And while the rest of the world moves right on to Christmas, we sort of begin to separate ourselves. And it's okay to put up your tree. It's okay to put up your lights. Don't worry. I don't think that makes God mad. But I think it's important for you to remember that this is a season in which we, who practice an ancient form of Christianity, we begin to differentiate from the rest of the culture. And for us, this is the end of our year, and next Sunday begins the season of Advent, where we wait for 4 weeks for the coming of Christ. But on this, the final Sunday of the church year, we remember the end of all days, the end of time. And today we hear this passage where Jesus gives us an image of the end of all things. And it's pretty scary. Episcopalians, we don't really like to talk about it very much. In this image, the king sits as judge, and all of humanity comes before the king. And the king allows some to come into God, and some are cast aside. And the first thing I want you to remember, which is very important, is that Christ is the king, not you and not me. And what that means is that it is only Christ and Christ alone who can determine people's salvation. Whenever human beings try to do that, whenever we try to tell everybody who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, we make a terrible mess, don't we? Terrible. No matter what faith tradition, when we get into the business of saying, oh, you're going to hell and you're going to heaven, that is not our job. We are not the king. Christ alone is the king, and you and I have only to be concerned with our own selves and with our own journey. And although this passage is hard, it is what we have been given, and I will not avoid it. Do I wish that everyone went into heaven? Sometimes, yes, but believe me, judgment is far beyond human comprehension, and it is not our business. But in this parable, Jesus gives us some really clear criteria for what we need to do to come to God. Jesus makes it very clear. And it doesn't, in this parable, coming to God has nothing to do with what you believe or how you feel. Let me say that again. In this parable, coming to God has nothing to do with what you profess to believe or what you feel. It has everything to do with how you treat the poor. That's what it's all about. In this parable, the king makes his decision based on how you treat the broken. And he gives 5 different kinds of poverty. He talks about those who are hungry and thirsty, who need food and drink. He talks about the stranger, people who feel alone or in a foreign land. He talks about the naked, those who need provisions, clothing. He talks about the sick. And he talks about those in prison. Those who need food and drink, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. And Christ says, when you do it to one of the least of these, you do it to me. He's telling us that somehow in the great mystery of all things, God himself is present in the most broken of us. And we are called and asked and challenged to minister to them. Sometimes people will ask me, why did I come to this cathedral? Why didn't I go to this other church or that one in Texas or whatever? I'll tell you why. It's very simple. I wanted to come here because this place is surrounded by the poor. They are in our building all the time. Because we have to come face to face with them every single day. And it's messy and it's hard. And I get annoyed and overwhelmed. But I know that it's here that I can catch a glimpse of Christ. We had a man wander into the church a couple weeks ago, a homeless man who was very adamant that he needed to give us his tithe of $5. These things, they happen all the time. Or on Thanksgiving after church, we had a feast and we had our beautiful immigrants and refugees experiencing Thanksgiving for the first time. And Raja and Lily brought them. We had homeless people. We had people who had lost a loved one. Someone in their family had died, so they came. We had people who just didn't have anyone. And people who wandered in off the streets, piling food on their plates as if it was the last meal they were going to eat. And it was beautiful. And I felt like I got a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. You know, we live in a world that worships the self. The cult of the self. We live in a world in which you're encouraged to care for yourself, think about yourself, worry about yourself all the time. And God is saying that the only way to find God is to get out of yourself and do that by caring for someone who can do nothing for you in return. Nothing. Sometimes I wonder if maybe Jesus asked us to care for the poor and the broken, because if we can learn to love the broken, then maybe we can accept the brokenness in ourselves. Maybe we can learn to love ourselves despite our own poverty, because we all are, in some way or another, poor, hungry, sick, lonely. This is where I choose to be. This is where you choose to be. And I don't know what will happen when we die. I don't know. Only God knows. But I think God's given us a way forward, don't you? I think we know what we're supposed to do. Amen.